It was one of the ancient wonders of the ancient world, one of the seven wonders. It was the Temple of Artemis, and it was one of the most beautiful sights in all of Ephesus. And he saw it in the distance. And he knew that was the very reason why he had become so wealthy and all the people who worked with him. But something was changing. There was a stirring in the city. The money that he was gaining was leaving his pockets because this man named Paul and his companions were coming into Ephesus. And he was proclaiming this new way. They were called the people of the way. And Demetrius was looking at that temple of Artemis that was 377 feet long and 180 feet wide with 127 columns of marble around it. It just glistened in the sun. And in the center of the temple of Artemis was a cedar pole, and it was the goddess of Artemis, the daughter of Zeus, the goddess of nature and of life and of sudden death. And Demetrius was making a killing off of her, selling these little man-made statues to all the individuals in the city. But Paul was taking money out of his pockets because people were turning from these little statues and from that temple to the gospel of Jesus and the one true living God. And Demetrius gathered the crowds and gathered a riot. And the crowd began to chant and raise up their little statues and look towards the temple. And they kept on beginning chanting to one another and to the skies and to their goddess. Artemis is great. Artemis is great. Artemis is great. And Paul's companions were there, pressured in this culture all around them. Why would Paul and his companions want to go to this place? Because Paul and his companions were culture changers. They wanted to go to the most dark places, the most difficult places, and bring the gospel of Jesus and bring change to that part of the world. Today, we're going to talk about that. What does it mean, and how does someone become a culture changer? We're going to look at the very words of Paul as he wrote to this church in Ephesus. And we're going to learn, as we look at our world, as we look at our culture, what it looks like to be a culture changer. And this message may be really good for you. Because like the riots in Ephesus, there's a riot internally going on inside of you right now. And you wouldn't call yourself a religious person or a Christian or a Jesus kind of person. And you're looking at your culture around you and the things that you thought would bring change and greatness to your life. And you feel more empty inside and more dead inside. And maybe, just maybe, you're here in this room or you're watching online right now and you're open for the first time that maybe this Jesus can change the way and direction in your life. And I understand a lot of you here that are listening are people of the way. We're taking the baton from Paul and his companions. And you look at your culture, though, and it's like a riot around you. And you're wondering, what could I do in my world, in my job, in my family, in my neighborhood, to bring change to this culture? It's overwhelming. And the chants of Artemis almost are all around you as well. Today, we're going to dive into this scripture. We're going to dive into this idea of you and I can be culture changers, just like Paul and his companions. Let's do this. Let's stand to our feet right now. As we pray, before we pray, I'd like to read scripture to you from the book of Ephesians. We're going to put it up on the screen here. Ephesians 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. to take off your former way of life, the old self, that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and in purity of the truth. Let's pray. With your eyes closed and your head bowed, I want you to picture yourself standing before the living God. The Bible tells us that one day we all will stand before God and give an account of our lives to Him. And listen, if it's just you and God right here in this room, what do you need to tell Him? What do you need to ask Him? And what do you need to admit to Him? Just you and God right now. Be with Him and speak to Him. Lord, sometimes silence can be deafening. And you heard all the words spoken from all these people in this room and even online in their hearts. There's a lot of things coming your way right now. And there's a lot of people who are walking through all different kinds of things. But God, as we enter into this teaching time, I pray that I take a humble posture as I open up your word and we learn from those who've gone before us. Jesus, please wake us up to the greater change that you can bring in our lives. Help us not just to go through the motions of attending a service and leaving. Help us to encounter you, the one true living God. Move amongst us, Holy Spirit. You have your way here. And I pray by the time we leave this place, you'd have done some amazing things in people's lives, including mine. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book at Ephesus. We're going to walk through this passage a little deeper. If you have a paper, back copy, or your electronic copy, open it up. If you have a pen, I encourage you to take notes. If you have your Westwood app, get that out as well. The book of Ephesus was written in 60 AD, 4 years later after this event happened from the book of Acts chapter 19 that I just spoke of a minute ago. It was 7 years before the Apostle Paul was executed in Rome. So look at that timeline a little there. We pick it up here. Paul founded this church. He founded it with Priscilla and Aquila. He then handed it over to Timothy to pastor the church, and then the Apostle John pastored the church. And you remember what Jesus said before he left the earth? He said, John, take care of her. Take care of my mother. And that's what John did. And Mary actually was a part of this church with John. So that's some context for you as we read the text here. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Therefore, every time you see the word therefore, you ask yourself, what is therefore? What? Therefore, that's right. Put a reference, verse 13, right next to that, when Paul writes earlier, until we reach all unity in the faith. He's talking about the importance and the power of being united together, especially in this Artemis culture, the culture that was pressing in. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord. I love the Greek here. It says, to call a witness. So I say this to call a witness in the Lord. That great language. You should no longer walk or live as the Gentiles do. Now, who are the Gentiles? It's so easy to think of Gentiles as just non-Jewish people. But Paul was alluding to not people of no faith, those outside the faith, right? Don't live and walk as the people outside of the faith do, in the futility of their thoughts. I have a great definition of futility. It says, what is futility? Things we fill our lives with that lead to nothing. Isn't that great? What is futility? Things that we fill our lives with that lead to nothing. And this is what these people in the city of Ephesus were doing, and this is what many people do, and maybe you're doing that right now here in your life. It's just futility. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. All they have is their own little life, and that's all they have, a limited life. Because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. This is an interesting concept when you think about the hardness of our hearts, because God reveals himself to everybody on planet Earth. His invisible qualities, his eternal nature, his divine power, right? The scripture, the spirit. But every individual has their choice to receive this or to start hardening their hearts. And hardening is a process. It starts when you first are aware of God and you turn away and you turn away and your heart gets harder and harder. But Paul carries this illustration a little farther. Listen to this in verse 19. They, those outside of the faith, those Gentiles, became callous. What is a callous? It's a thickening of the skin due to friction. You've had them on your hands or your feet, right? It's a thickening due to friction. And when the heart, listen, when the heart gets hard, there's friction in your life. And it gets harder, and there's more friction. It gets harder, and there's more friction. And it builds, it gets larger and larger and larger. They became callous and gave themselves over. This is what we do. We give ourselves over to something or someone in our lives. All of us do. To promiscuity. This translated in the Greek is unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. Wide open lust. Wide open lust. And the ancient world was filled with that. For the practice of every kind of impurity. And Paul's like, I don't have the time to write down all the impurities, but I'm going to write down, there's a bunch, and you're fully aware of them. Every kind of impurity, the desire for more and more. That's what it leads to. Never satisfies. You want more, and that doesn't satisfy. You want more and more and more. But that is not how you Ephesian Christians came to know. I want you to circle that word know. We're going to get back to that. Know Christ. Assuming you heard about him, and were taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus. Now, verse 22. To take off your former way of life. The words take off is translated to lay aside. To lay aside your former way of life. The word old is ancient and worn. To lay aside your ancient and worn life, the dead life, right? The old self that was corrupted by your deceitful desires. The word self is anthropos. It's where we get our word anthropology. So to lay aside your ancient humanness, right? And this says this, verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on. So there's take off and there's put on. Take off and put on. Take off and put on. And put on the new self. The new self. What is the new self? It's the fresh. The Greek here, listen to the Greek in this word. It's the fresh, the uncommon, the unheard of. Isn't that great? The unheard of self. The one created according to God's likeness, not yours, in righteousness, in purity, and in truth. The very first thing when it comes to being a culture changer, the what of being a culture changer, your first fill in the blank is this. Know Christ. Where do you start to be a culture changer? Spiritually. Know Christ. In verse 20, the scripture says, but that is not how you came to know Christ. To know Christ. So I'm going to put a picture up here on the screen. This was 32 years ago. My wife and I just had gotten married, and we were at our reception in Montgomery, Alabama, and we were so excited to be married together, and I guess you faked them out, didn't you, Jill? You held on the bouquet there. We met in college, and we had a chance to become friends, and we built this friendship, and I began to know who she was. And we started dating, and then we got engaged, and then we built our knowing relationship, and then we were married. It was a process of knowing each other. And you guys know, listen, if you're married, you get this, right? You get this. I have come to know her voice. I know her voice in the crowd. I know her voice on the phone. I can finish her words. We think like one another. You guys know this, right? We finish each other's words. I know what's on her heart. I can just tell just by looking at her, just by being with her. I see the couples looking at each other going, ooh, that's you and me, baby. I can see it out there. It's okay. You Google, you do that. You hug, kiss on the cheek. That's good. You do that. I love it. I love spending time with her. She's my favorite person on the planet. Give me any person on the planet, Jill. I want to be with her. And I want to introduce her to others. I just can't wait. This is my wife, 32 years. I can't believe she's hung with me for 32 years. And the biggest joke is this. I've told her this. I said, if you ever want to leave me, I'm going with you. That's what I say to her. You know, it's the same with Jesus, isn't it? You know, I first met Jesus when I was 13. Man, I'll never forget that introduction. And he called me his friend. I mean, are you kidding me? The God of the universe, he called me his friend, and I began to know him, and I committed my life to him, and then he called me a part of his church, his bride, and I began to know his voice. See, as a believer, all of us, if you're a believer, the Spirit of God lives in you. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God lives in you. Can you imagine that? The very Spirit of God, and we know his voice. And then I can finish his words. I read this Bible, digest this scripture, memorize it, pray it, read it, sing it. I know his voice. He speaks to me. I know what's on his heart. I love spending time with him. And I love to introduce him to people because he knows me. And when it gets bad in my life, and my walk is kind of in a troubled time, and I want to say to him, I think I may want to leave you. He'll say back to me, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you. What an amazing God. The word to know in the Hebrew is yada. Everybody say yada. Yada, good job. It's mentioned 950 times in the Bible. Adam and Eve yada'd one another. It's to perceive, experience, and become one. Let me say that again. To perceive, to understand, to experience. Not just to perceive, but to experience and to become one, a unity with God. Knowing Jesus and his gospel changes us, and it brings us out of our culture. And it's not just knowing about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. It's knowing God. You see, when you and I realize that we can yada the living God, just let me say that again. When you and I realize that we can yada the living God, we can perceive him. We can experience him. And we can become one with him. What an amazing thought. No other God or gods, quote, unquote, small g gods, but our God. And as I'm communicating to you, I'm looking around the room and I see so many faces. And I've sat across the table at lunch and in the hallways in the small group building and on the phone with you, and I've talked to you, and I've heard your know stories, your knowing of God stories. And I just want to say you've inspired me so much in my knowing of Jesus. And that's what we're here together, this unity, to share that, to experience, to perceive it together. So my question to you under this point is this. Do you know Jesus? Like, do you really know him? Or do you just know about him? You just know about him. All right, the second point on the what of culture changing is this. Live differently from the world. Once you know Jesus, you want to live differently. It's just going to flow out of you. In verse 17, it says this. Therefore, I say and I testify, right? I call to witness in the Lord, you should no longer live as the non-faith people do. You should no longer live as the Gentiles do. All right, turning your Bibles to the left, we're going to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. We're going to go to chapter 12. A very familiar verse to many of you. I'm going to give it some different interesting spin and thoughts for you on this. We're going to travel from Ephesus to Rome. It's around 830 miles back in the day when Paul walked the planet. Let's look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God. Paul's saying this. Look at the mercies of God. Can you see them? In view of God's mercies, I urge you. The word urge is I beg. It's to beg. Paul's saying, look, I beg you. Christians in Rome, I beg you, I urge you to present, basically offer yourselves, to give yourselves to offer yourselves, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Not like Artemis, because in that temple that we looked at earlier, they presented dead goats to their quote-unquote goddess. But God is calling us to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. And then it says this, do not be conformed. That word means shaped. Don't be shaped by the world. It's very easy to be shaped by the world, how we think, how we see, how we speak, what we love, what we do. Don't be shaped by this age, this culture, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. And that's a whole new message about the will of God right there, right? Let's talk about the word transformed. Transformed. The word transformed is broken in two different Greek words, and basically it's translated beyond change. Like, this is beyond change that you can't even imagine. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. Like, the butterfly is in four stages, and it changes over time. It's a process. It's transforming. It's evolving. I was in Italy in September of 23, and my family and I went over there and had a chance to see Rome, and it was unbelievable. If you've never had a chance to go, it changes how you read this. It changes how you think of history. It changes you drastically. And I remember walking around, we went to the Colosseum tour, and we were touring this massive, beautiful amphitheater where they had their battles and their productions and all these people. And you almost can look at the seats and hear all the voices yelling all throughout the Colosseum. And then we left the Colosseum, we walked around that area outside of there. And all we saw were these big temples, these big buildings. And they were erected for the emperors, because the emperors were seen as deities. They were seen as deities. And so they had their names on them. And it was built in the honor of these emperors, right? And then a man named Constantine came around in 312 AD. And life was about to get different for Rome. He gave his life to Jesus, to the Christian faith, to the Christian God. He turned away from the Roman gods, small g gods. And Constantine had all of those emperor temples changed and put crosses on them. And we walked around, we saw crosses all over these buildings. A transformation, a metamorphosis of this whole area from what was uplifting a man, a human, who wasn't a god at all, to uplifting Jesus with crosses on it. See, back in the first century, the gospel turned the world upside down. Let me ask you a question. Is the gospel turning your world upside down, or is the world turning you upside down? The gospel has the power to transform us, and our world can be transformed from that. And the Bible tells us, God tells us, to live differently from the world, to look differently from the world. What does it mean to live differently? It begins with a spiritual transformation of our minds. We think differently about ourselves and God and culture and everything all around us. And after we know Jesus, we live differently from the world. And what's the result? We look at the world differently. We look at promiscuity and impurity and the desire for more and more differently. Sin never satisfies. It always leaves us wanting and empty and more hurt and lonely. And so the more and more of the world, it's not so great anymore. Our heart breaks for the culture when we start to live differently. We see people differently. We're not angry at them. We don't hate them. Our heart breaks for them, right? And we want others to know too what it means to be an alien or a peculiar person walking around in this culture. So let's be honest. This isn't easy, right? It's nice to sit in this nice church building and you're sitting in your home watching online and, oh yeah, amen, brother. But this is hard, isn't it? See, if I can be honest with you, I read these stories, and I want to be like these people. And sometimes I'm kind of like them. But man, I fail a lot. I don't live up. And many times I become a coward. Anybody else out there join me? I just become a coward. It's easier to blend. It's easier not to speak. It's easier just to click on that and do that and not do that. Right? And you say, what am I doing? And just like me, I become like those Gentiles. I become like the Gentiles. And I give myself the desire for more and more things. And I become more and more empty. And you know what my life screams out? Great is Artemis. Great is Artemis. I don't know if you're there right now. There's someone great to have your life proclaim more, and his name is Jesus. The year was 64 AD. We're going to put a picture up on the screen here of Rome. History tells us that Rome was burned in 6 days. 10 of the 14 provinces were burned to the ground. So Nero, the wicked, evil man that he was, blamed the Christians for it. There was a great persecution that broke out in Rome, and they decided to put animal skins on people of the way and Christians and let wild animals eat them alive. And then they crucified them and put them on the streets, and they lit up the streets like lanterns at night. It was great persecution. But 100 years later, 165 AD, after these fires and after the false accusations, the time in Rome, Marcus Aurelius was the emperor. You may have seen the movie Gladiator, right? He was the guy, and he continued the persecution until something happened. An epidemic broke out. One third of the city was killed by this epidemic. For 24 years, did you hear that? For 24 years, an epidemic destroyed one third of the city. Bodies were thrown in the streets, alive, mostly dead, kind of dead. Right? People, dead bodies were laying all over. Disease was everywhere. The wealthy and the Gentile unfaith people, they got out of town fast. But you know what the Christians did? They stayed. And they cared for the sick. And they prayed. And miraculous things happened. And God protected many of them and their health even. And they listened to them and they fed them. And they converted some, and they cared for them. And the way grew more and more and more from that moment, because great is Jesus. Great is Jesus. Why in the world would these Christians want to do this? Because they were culture changers, and they lived differently, and they saw the world differently, like you and I are called to do. But here's my question to you and to me. I'm in the front of the line. If you were living then, what would you have done? I'd be tempted to get out of town too. What would you have done? Would you have been like these early people of the way? And here's my question to you now. What in your life right now is God calling you to live differently? Maybe when you were standing early in silence and it got really awkward. And God was speaking to you in a very powerful way. And he's calling you to do something different with your life. Yes, it will be hard. And yes, you may lose some things. You may lose some friends, a promotion, money, status, and it will be risky. But it's going to be worth it when we live differently for a greater kingdom and a greater God. Amen. Amen. All right, let's talk about the how of being a culture changer. The first thing is this: take off your old self. Take off your old self. Let's go back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. The Bible says this: take off, lay aside your former way of life, the old self. Remember, the ancient and worn self. Lay it aside, your old self that is corrupted by the deceitful desires. Okay? Lay that aside. The first thing to do, the how of being a culture changer, is to take off your old self. What in the world does that mean? Well, let me show you what it means. So, back in the day, I was a Cub Scout. And here is my Cub Scout shirt. It is, I promise, it really is. Look at this thing. It was great. It says, right here, it says Essex Junction, Vermont. And it says Den 30. And every Tuesday, I'd wear this to school proudly. I mean, man, I was a Cub Scout. Me and my buddies, we'd walk down the hall together with our Cub Scout shirt. Oh, that's right. That's right. Club 10. That's right. That's who we are. We're a Cub Scout. It fit me so good. I would sleep it at night. I love this thing. Every Tuesday night, we'd go to my buddy Michael's house, and we'd do our little den thing. Any Cub Scouts out there in your history? No Cub Scouts? Boy Scouts out there? Come on now. You missed out on so much. Man, this changed me. This fit me. This is who I was. I mean, this was life-altering. The label here, it says Boy Scouts of America, official shirt. Like, I was official. I was a Cub Scout. David Peacock, the Cub Scout. I mean, that's who I was. Right on. It was life-impacting for me. The Bible says this: take off, renounce your old self. Take off your old self. You see, if you're a believer here, This is something you used to be. This symbolizes your life before Christ. And the Bible says, take this thing off because it doesn't fit anymore. And let me show you how it doesn't fit me. This is not good. I mean, this is all I got right here for you, right? The Bible says this. Take off your old self. Take it off. Renounce it. Turn from it. The old. Your BC life. The spiritual Cub Scout life, right? Your dead life. The ancient worn life, right? The one who you used to be. You were a sinner before Jesus. You were a sinner. You were in sin. You were outside of Jesus. You were outside of his faith. You were separated from God. Romans 6:6. Go back there. Romans 6:6. Listen to these words. Listen. It says, Paul says this to the Roman Christians. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless. This is powerless right here. So that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, right? It says, we know that our old self was crucified. It's gone. This thing is gone right here. The very first thing we need to know is take off the old self. If you're not a believer here, this is what you're wearing right here. And the older you get, it's getting a little awkward and worn. All right, the next thing we need to do when it comes to living our faith, we need to put on the new self. Put on the new self. Go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 24, it says this. It says, put on the new self. Put on the fresh, uncommon, unheard of self. The word self there is the word anthropos, where we get our word anthropology. Put on the new humanness. Become a new human. Put on the new humanness. I didn't share with you what the words put on are translated, but this is very powerful, and it's going to make a little more sense now. The words put on in the Greek is this, is enduo. 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 And this is what it means. To sink into a garment. Enduo. To sink, to put on, to sink into a garment. To sink into new clothes, new spiritual clothes, fresh, unheard of clothes. Now, I have another coat here. This is my Gap coat right here. Any Gap fans out there? Remember this old school coat right here? Put this thing on here. Man, this fits pretty good, doesn't it? It can match different outfits, kind of khaki color. It fits me so well. I love it. It's a good fit for me. I love this Gap coat right here. On the tag, it says, made by the Gap, right? And so it's kind of a brand for a lot of people to like. Any Gap fans out there? Any Gap fans out there? All right, there we go. This coat right here is symbolic of something greater. It's symbolic of us putting on the new self. To sink into a garment. To put it on. And this means an unheard of, a fresh life. To renounce your old life, to find yourself in new robes of righteousness. And you know what the tag reads? Made in heaven. Come on, that was good. Made in heaven. Not just made of the earth of flesh and blood. We're a greater creation in Jesus now. It's an AD life. It's an after death life. We put on Christ's imputed righteousness. We put on purity and truth and God's very likeness. Can you imagine? Can anybody get excited about that? We put on God's likeness. We look like him. We talk like him. We think like him. We act like him. His imputed righteousness to us. Now, as we kind of land the plane here, let's bring up the one thing. The one thing in the morning is this. If you leave today and you're thinking, what did David talk about? If somebody meets you at Moe's down the road, and what was the sermon about? Here's the one thing. You tell them this one thing. Here we go. To change your culture, you first need God to change yourself. Can we say that together? To change your culture, you first need God to change yourself. That word God is important there. A lot of people take this approach. To change your culture, you must first change yourself. Go to see a motivational speaker. Go see a movie. Meditate a little bit. Go speak into someone who speaks positive words. Have somebody send positive vibes your way. I don't know what a vibe is, but I don't know how to do that, right? But the word God is key, because only God can change us internally in an eternal way. Only God can do this. Morality can't change you like this. Religion can't change you like this. Education can't change you like this, and even politics can't change you like this. After watching that debate, can I get a big amen after that one? Amen. Thank you so much. These things can't change us. Only the gospel of Jesus can change us. When we put on his righteousness, he changes us from the inside out. The things that we can't even bring up, only he can do. And it's a choice, though. It's a choice. And this is where it starts. It starts at salvation. It's called justification when you put on the new robe, the new coat. When you put it on. And then after that, something's called sanctification. It's a daily choice you put it on. You don't have to put on the Gap coat if you don't want to. You don't have to put on Christ as you walk out. You can live out of your own resources, your flesh, or you can live out of spirit and wear him all day long, and in season and out of season, and hold him and watch him change you and change the world around you. Now, this Artemis temple, in 401, it was destroyed by fire. The irony of that, just like the fires of Rome, right? It's gone. It's not there anymore. If you listen, you can't hear the chants anymore. Can't hear the chants of the followers of this goddess. She's gone. They're gone. This culture is gone. There's no more sacrificing of goats. Artemis is never mentioned again. And the people of the way is growing more and more and more. And the chant goes on, a new chant. Great is Jesus. Great is Jesus. Great is Jesus. Now it's our turn to be culture changers. It's our turn. Now, you may be here as we close our time out, and you're not a Christian. And the reality is you've been living and wearing this old, worn life. And you know what? It's become old and tiresome. Maybe it's time for you to take this thing off. To take off the old, the dead, the hopelessness, the loneliness. Am I talking to anybody this morning? This is where you are. You're a Cub Scout spiritually. It's time to take it off and lay it aside. As a Christian, you put on this new garment, right? Here's my challenge to you. Induo. Sink into it every day. Get into this scripture. Get into prayer. Get around believers. Get into a small group. Stop living isolated. Induo. Sink into the faith. Some of you as Christians right now, you're in a spot where you're struggling spiritually. And really, if you're really honest, if we were to sit down one-on-one and I say, be gut level honest with me. Come on, just shoot it straight with me. Tell me where you are. And this is what you would say to me. I'm thinking about leaving God. And this is where I am because this happened and this happened and this happened. I just want to say something to you. When we say those things to God, if I ever want to leave you, God says, I'm going with you. I'm not going to leave you. I love you. You're not going to get rid of me that fast. Some of you are trying, you're doing this. You have the garment on, the new self here. And then you see this, actually it's laying aside over there and you're going, huh, I remember I used to go there and hang out with those people and I used to speak and that music was, you know, great beat, good beat. I mean, yeah. And I used to put that in my body, and I used to do that with other people. And I don't know. Maybe I need to see this again. And you kind of look at it, and you go, "Well, it's, you know, it wasn't so bad, was it?" I mean, and you do this, and you go, "It doesn't really fit with this thing." And maybe this is you right now. Yeah. Instead of sinking in to the garment of Jesus, you're trying to do both, and it's leaving you more dead and empty. I just want to challenge you with this question. What are you chanting with your life? Great is blank. And it's all based upon what we're wearing. Whatever we're wearing, our life is chanting out, great is blank. You fill in the blank. Great is Jesus. Our great is Artemis, and there's a lot of Artemises all around now. What is your life chanting? This or this? To change your culture, you first must need God to change yourself. You must take off the old and put on the new so that you can yada, you can know the living God, you can nod at him. Let's pray together. Thank you for your word this morning, Jesus, and a chance to open it up and a chance to dive into a culture that was long ago. And it's humbling to reflect back and to see what you, what was going on in that time and to think about our world today. I pray, Jesus, right now, for the person in here who doesn't know you and they're just worn out from the culture, they're worn out from themselves, they're worn out from sin, and they're just wearing a garment that just doesn't fit anymore and it's uncomfortable, and they just, some of them want to take it off, but they don't know how. I pray you give them the courage to know that you love them and you're going to meet them right where they are. I pray for the Christian who has put on that new self. I pray that you help them to sink into you in your fullness, in your life, in your forgiveness, in your joy, in your hope. I pray for the believers listening and watching right now. Give us all the courage to be culture changers. In our world today, life is short. Soon we'll be a part of the pages of history ourselves. I pray we would take heed from Paul and his companions, what they did. They went to the darkest place, the most hardened heart of places, the most callous places. Lord, you've given us opportunities at the workplace and at home, and even as we go out and about to vacation and wherever we are, to wear you. Help us to do that courageously. Help us to know, God, that you're the same God that empowered Paul and his companions. I pray for our nation and our world. I pray that your light would shine brightly. And maybe, God, it starts in this building. Maybe it's one person. Maybe it's two people. Maybe it changes their marriage. Maybe it changes their workplace. Maybe it helps them to turn. Maybe it helps them to drop that old Cub Scout spiritual shirt. Maybe it leads to an honest conversation for the very first time in their lives. They open up to someone and say, this is where I am, and I'm wore out. God, will you do that? Have your way. I'm just going to give you a moment of quiet. I'm going to have you ask God the same questions that you asked him earlier. Ask him this. What do you need to tell me? What do I need to ask you? What do I need to admit? Lord, thank you for your greatness. Thank you for being the only one true living God and for meeting us here this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hey, can we thank God for a great morning this morning? Thank you, Lord. So the service doesn't end, because what happens now, it's really exciting. These doors are open up over here, and there's men and women over here, and this room is called Next Steps. And for you, if you are someone who wants to become a Christian and you just need someone to kind of walk alongside you, they're awesome over here. If you need someone to pray for you, or you have something going on in your life, you just need someone to talk to, they're over here. They're here to serve you. They want to come alongside you. It's called the Next Steps room. Also, our offering, you could put your offering in the boxes in the lobby. You can give online financially. It's an act of worship. We consider that here in our church. If you come here and are part of our church and you give regularly financially, thank you so much. Because without that, we couldn't do what we're doing here. If you've never done that and crossed over that line, I want to challenge you to live differently. Trust God with your money and give. Give to a greater kingdom. Give to spiritual things. That offering is there for you. So right now we're going to have our dismissal. I'd like to give you a blessing. If you could stand to your feet, please. If you could put your hands out in front of you like this. May your lives testify of the gospel of Jesus to people living in futility, who have hard hearts and are calloused. May you sink into your new life deeply and take the baton from Paul and his companions to be culture changers. In Jesus' name, amen. Westwood, we are. Have a great day.